Last year, Easter was April 12th. We were newly into this pandemic that is still going on around us. At that time, around 22,000 Americans had died, about half of those in the week leading up to Easter. And about 100,000 people around the world had died in this pandemic. Now, of course, we know that the death toll in this country is well over 550,000 people, and over 2.8 million people around the world. And we've heard the news in recent weeks that there's a new, the new variants are here, cases are rising, a new surge, they're saying, in this disease, as case numbers rise. Last Easter, I don't know if I would have believed that we would be in this place today, a year later, still in the throes of this pandemic, still dealing with these issues. So I would encourage you all again to please stay home as you're able and to take care of yourself, protect others, keep distance, wear masks, and of course get vaccinated as soon as you are able to do that. I know many of you have already gotten your first or even second shots, and I'm grateful for that. So continue to do that to keep yourselves and your families and your neighbors safe and healthy as much as you can. The news about this pandemic is not all bad today. Vaccine development was basically miraculous. I mean, the way that that came up, and the vaccine rollout in this country is going better than literally anybody predicted that it would at this point, so that's really good. Even though case numbers are very high right now and rising, and we're worried about that, death totals are much lower than they were because now we know something about how to effectively treat this disease, this COVID-19. And in another couple months, we could be getting back to, you know, I wouldn't say getting back to normal, but getting back to seeing people, back to family gatherings, hugs, and so many of the relationships that matter so much in our lives. I'm talking about this pandemic today, partially because Easter is the first big holiday after a year of this has gone by, and it's a time to mark the time that we've had, a time to look back and take stock of where we are today. But the bigger reason that I'm talking about this pandemic today, to start off my Easter sermon, is to point out the all-too-obvious fact that death is real. Death is real. It's a part of our lives that our society, in this country at least, ignores as much as possible, as often as we can, and doesn't prepare us to deal well with it. Often forcing people to grieve alone or quietly or in private rather than together in public. And the pandemic has somehow made all of that worse because we can't gather together to grieve. We can't do the things that we want to do. This is one of the many awful effects of this pandemic is that we've been separated even further from death, even as it surrounds us. And even as, you know, we worry about this disease and all these things, we're forced to worry much more alone than we would be. When a loved one dies, we may not be able to be there with them when they die. We won't be able to gather and have a funeral the way we want to. We might not even be able to have the you know, family just sitting around laughing and crying together, reminiscing and remembering, or even doing the work of planning the funeral and doing all the things you have to do. All of this stuff is separated from each other. We're taken apart from each other, which is such a hard thing. And in time of loss and grief and mourning, that's when we need each other the most. And this pandemic not only causes those times, but then forces us not to be able to be together in those times. And that's part of the cruelty of the situation that we've been in. You know, I look back, we haven't even been able to do a funeral for Bob McShannock, who died just before the first lockdown a year ago. And it's a difficult and challenging time. I'm talking about death today because in our gospel lesson that we heard, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. because everything about Jesus' death was wrong also. I mean, obviously, his arrest and his trial, his undeserved, public, shameful death by crucifixion, the mocking that he endured, all the things that happened to Jesus, all of that was wrong, and that's true. But what I tend not to think about, and what I thought about newly this year because of our experience, is how Mary's experience of grief was also taken from her in the way that it should have been. The society that Mary and Jesus lived in those days had more structured rituals around death and dying, and I dare say better ones than we have today. They were a little closer to what was going on, and people were able to work through that grief in sort of more real ways, more public ways, more together ways. That had been taken from Mary. When Jesus was killed this way and he died, his body was given to Joseph of Arimathea, and it says Nicodemus was along, and they took it to this place and put it in an empty tomb, and they rolled a stone over it. And Mary and the disciples closest to Jesus and Jesus' own family weren't able to get the body. They weren't able to see the body. They were denied the rituals and the grief that they were supposed to have. That's why Mary went that day. She wanted to take the body back to the people who were closest to Jesus so that they could treat it with the respect and the ritual practices that it deserved and that they needed to heal, to begin to move on from this horrible, unthinkable death, or at least unthinkable just a few days before. That's why Mary was there, because her rituals of grief, her rituals of mourning, her rituals of around the death of a loved one had been interrupted, had been taken from her. I dare say that now, as we go through the times that we do now and the disrupted rituals and the experience of grief being distant and on Zoom and all these things, I mean, obviously, Mary and the guys were not on Zoom, but they also felt this in the time of the death of Jesus. They had a similar experience of the disruption of grief, the disruption of their ability to deal with death together the best way that they knew how. So again, Mary come to the tomb, hoping to find a way to do something to honor Jesus in his death, and instead she found the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, and her worst fears, she hadn't even been able to fear this, who's taken his body? They've taken away. It's not clear who she means by they. Does she think the Roman officials took him? Does she think Joseph of Arimathea took the body somewhere else, and who's this guy anyway? Just because he's a guy with money doesn't mean he should be able to have Jesus' body? Who would steal a body? She didn't know. She was panicking. She was distraught. And so she ran and she found Peter and the other disciple, the one who doesn't get named in John's gospel, but the one who Jesus loved is how they describe him. She told them and they ran back to the tomb to see for themselves. And they go and they look inside and they come inside and they see the linen wrappings and they see the stone rolled away and they see that Jesus' body is gone. And they did not understand what had happened. Now, it says in there that this beloved disciple, he saw and believed. And as Ken Barrett pointed out in Bible study this week, as well as I read it from some other place, but Ken pointed out in Bible study to me first this week, he may have just believed Mary. He believed that Mary was telling the truth, that Jesus' body had been taken. Because it immediately says they didn't understand, and so they went home. I've always read that and thought he saw and believed, as in he believed Jesus was resurrected. He believed the whole story. But that doesn't seem to be what the story actually says. He believed that Mary was right, that the body had been taken away, that all hope was lost, and now this like salt was being thrown in their wounds. And so they went home. They just left. And they just left Mary there crying by herself. Thanks, guys. Super classy. That's it. That is a strange detail, right? But like, that's what they did. I don't understand it. So anyway, Mary is there. And now she's there by herself. And only then does she see the angels, talk to the angels, turn around and see Jesus. and through her tears, she doesn't even recognize him until he calls her name, Mary. And then it's like the scales fell from her eyes. That's a different story in the Bible. But she finally recognizes, she sees Jesus, and suddenly she begins to understand that the impossible is now possible. That the unthinkable of his death has been replaced by the unthinkable of Jesus' resurrection. That he lives again. And so finally Mary goes and runs back and tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She becomes the first witness, the first to tell the good news, the first apostle of Jesus, the first one to tell the story, the good news that Jesus is alive, that the power of death has been shaken to its very core. Now, I'm talking about all of that today, yet again, because death is real. And after the year we've just had and the experiences we've just had, we need to acknowledge that. We need to be real about it. Death is real. But as we also know from this story and from the faith that we've been raised with, lo, these many years for most of us, resurrection is every bit as real as death. Through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, God has shown us that God's love for us is stronger than death, and that life will always have the last word over death. This is a good day to tell that. It is a beautiful, sunny Easter morning. Vaccines are coming out. This pandemic is starting to recede. We still have to be wary. We're not out of the woods yet, but we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, as the expression goes. We think that life is coming back to normal. We see flowers growing. We see that all of this death and fear and sorrow that we've experienced will not have the last word in our lives. Recently, the church experienced another big loss, the death of Inez Kenyon. Many of you on the call are her family, besides being her church family, one of the great matriarchs of Hope Church, and someone who I've come to care dearly about in the few years that I've been here. Inez's death was not unexpected, but it was still a shock and a blow to everybody, even those who were there with her. But the thing that I heard from at least two of you said, I know Lillian Bloom said it, and I know Carol Overland said it, each said, soon after that, "I'm just thinking about the Easter that Inez is going to have, the resurrection that she is experiencing." And that brings me hope. That helps me to trust that even before death, even in this world, there is good still to come, that death doesn't have the last word in the lives of our beloved who we've lost, or even in this life. Death and grief and loss and all those things, they don't define us. They don't define our lives. But love and life and relationships define who we are and how we live. And the blessed memory of Inez and of Bob McShannock and of so many more who we've lost in the past year and throughout all our lives, those memories stay with us. And that love keeps us going. Yes, love is mixed with sadness and with grief and with fear and anger and all the other things. We don't get to throw those things out. To follow Jesus is not to lose all the bad things and only keep the good things. To follow Jesus is to weather those bad things and trust and know that God weathers them with us. That God does not leave us alone. As I said, those disciples had the disorienting experience of Jesus' death and not being able to do what they needed to do after that death. Luckily, he showed up and fixed that for them. We, in this pandemic time, don't have we're not able to grieve the way we want to either. But we know, we have faith that even when we can't do the things we want to do, even when we can't say goodbye in the ways we want to do that, when we can't grieve together the way we want to, We know that God is with us, that resurrection is real, that life goes on with love and relationships, and we honor the memory of those we have lost by living to God, loving and serving God and our neighbors. Because God does not leave us alone, even in death, even in pandemic, even in isolation. God does not leave us alone, but God is with us. And God longs for us to be together, and we will be together again soon. Amen.